It's something I've been looking at, and just really, I tell you what, as a pastor, going through the Bible and really trying to read every word and not just, you know, regurgitate material and stuff like that, man, you just learn so much. The Bible is so full of good stuff and life-giving words. And so, the doctrine of adoption, I'll talk to you about the doctrine of adoption tonight. And that phrase, the reason I want to do this tonight is because there's a couple of ways that I think I was taught, and I hear people throwing the word around without any biblical really reference to what they're saying. It's just kind of like we took a Bible word and we just applied it however we wanted to apply it. So I want to show you God's definition of this word and what it means if you've trusted Jesus Christ to be your Savior. This is something that will happen one day, but it should help going through this. It should help. I'll tell you all these things it should do. I'll just go through the study and we'll find out what it does. But it should help organize some of these other things in your mind, I hope. That's the idea, by learning what this word means. So the word adoption, I'll just say this. That phrase, the adoption, only shows up 5 times in the Bible. Only 5 times in the New Testament. And it's the truth that deals with the changing of a redeemed soul's body from corruptible to incorruptible. That's the specific thing it's dealing with. Let's pray, and I'll show you these. I'm just going to show you where it shows up, and then we'll go back over and deal with these verses. But let's pray first. Father, I pray tonight that you would help us through this study. As a kind of detour from Psalms tonight, I pray that you'd give us what we need. Help us learn our Bibles and help us learn what you said and not what we think you said or not what maybe we've thought we've heard other people say, but actually what you said. And I pray your Holy Spirit have liberty tonight to take these words and apply them where they need to be applied. And I guess just help us, please help us organize some of these other things around in our mind when you say what you say. And Father, I just pray that we would be Bible-believing people and not just assume we're Bible-believing people, but actually be Bible-believing people. And Lord, your words change lives. They really do. And Lord, thank you for your words. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So let me give you, I'm going to show you where this word shows up. We'll go over to Romans chapter 8. I'm just going to show you where this word shows up. And then we'll go back over and deal with what it is, what it means, and all the things it affects here. So Romans chapter 8 and start looking at verse 23, because this is where the word adoption is defined. People say, and I hear preachers say, I'm glad I've been adopted into the family of God, or they'd use it as a Jew and a Gentile thing where, you know, the Jews had this thing, but as Gentiles we're adopted into the family. None of those things are true when you read about the word adoption in the Bible. Romans 8:23. This is where this word shows up. This is what it means. It says, verse 22 for the context, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Boy, that's the truth. Very true. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, that means that this is what it is, the redemption of our body. That is the adoption. So we can be careless and say, well, I'm so glad I'm adopted into the family of God. Really, you're not adopted into the family of God. Your body hasn't been changed yet. You're waiting on that time. If you're saved, you're waiting on that time. So this adoption defines a day, a point in time, where God changes the corruptible body and makes it into the incorruptible body fashioned like Jesus Christ's glorious body. All right, that's one place. Look back in Romans 8 and verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. All right, so it's one thing to receive the body of adoption. That's going to happen one day, but none of us have that yet. That day hasn't happened yet. No one's been adopted yet. However, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, you believe the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ for your sins, he puts the spirit of adoption in you. Okay? Look at it again over here in Romans, let's see, Romans 9. Go to one chapter over. This is one of the misconceptions I've heard from folks. They say, you know, as Gentiles, we are adopted into the family. Here's the problem with that idea. Romans 9 and verse 3. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the what? The adoption. So it was Israel's first. So it's not a Jew and Gentile thing. It's not like the Gentiles get in on something and we're not part of the family of God and then we're adopted into the family of God. Adoption deals with God changing the flesh into incorruptible flesh fashioned after Jesus Christ, and all of that pertained to the Jews first. That adoption. It's not a Jew Gentile thing. So it belongs to Israelites first, belongs to the nation of Israel first. Give it to you a couple more times here. Look over in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. All right, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. It says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons of God, so you can be a son of God, but you're not adopted yet. And I'll explain that in a minute. Because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So the adoption, here's the layout of the thing. The adoption deals with the changing of the body. And one of the reasons God doesn't use the word birth is because your body is not going to be born again. It's going to be changed into something else. It's not going to be birthed by a mother again. It's going to be completely changed. And so of the Spirit, you could say, when Jesus Christ talking to Nicodemus, talking about being born again, well, the Spirit is born. Spirit can be born again, but the body will never be born again. It will just be changed one day. So he doesn't use the term birth as with your body. What he uses is the term adoption, which is just a change. You change families. All right? So those are, I don't know, what is that, four or five times it shows up. I know there's one more. There's one more in Ephesians. I tell you what, we'll just look at it because we're close to it. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. All right, Ephesians 1, 5, he says, having predestinated us unto the adoption, predestination, that is a predetermined destination, but that doesn't mean he chose you from the foundation of the world or any of that stuff. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So we'll deal with this in just a second. I just want to show you all the times the adoption shows up. That predestination doesn't even happen until Jesus Christ has completed the work he's done. It's not, this isn't talking about from the foundation of the world. This doesn't even happen until Jesus Christ has obtained a body that God can fashion other bodies after. Then it's predetermined by God that those who trust Jesus Christ will now be fashioned like that glorified body. All right, we'll deal a little bit more with that. But I just want to show you, all right, those are the five times the word shows up. And it may not be that significant to you, I don't know. It's significant in my own thinking, probably because I had a thought about this thing, and I thought, well, and I probably even said it from the pulpit and things like that. We're adopted in, Gentiles are adopted in, or glad we're part of the family of God, all that stuff. And I use a word that doesn't mean what I think it means. The word means, according to Romans 8:23, it is the day God changes this body and fashions it like his son Jesus Christ, his glorified body. All right, so let's go back to Romans and let's kind of dig around here a little bit and make some applications here. All right, back over in Romans. Romans 8:23, you've got the definition of the adoption. This is the struggle that every child of God has right now. As a child of God, you are inwardly something that you are not outwardly. You are inwardly, says you're born again of the Spirit of God, and you are inwardly something, but you still live in this body that outwardly is opposed to God in every single way. And so the struggle is, I'm a child of God. There's a part of me that wants to serve God. But like he says in verse 23, it says, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. So if you have the Spirit of God, he says over there in, I think it's Galatians, he said, if you have not the Spirit, you are none of his. If he hasn't given you his Spirit, you're not a part of his family. That Spirit of God indicates now you are a part of the family of God. Part of you is anyway. Part of you is not a part of the family of God. That's the outside of you. So he says, and not only, verse 23, Romans 8:23, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. All right, so that's where he defines that word. And the definition of it, just like we've said here, it's the redemption of your body. This is why I want to be careful about how I use the term going forward and thinking about this. Adoption is not a past event. It's a future event. No one in here has been adopted yet. Or no one in here has been through the adoption, I should say, the adoption. You may have the Spirit of God in you, but you don't have the change in the body yet. So the struggle is, I am waiting to one day for God to change from this family, this body that is a part of this world, that loves the things of this world, to make this body and change it into a body that is fashioned after His own family, after Jesus Christ. And that's the tension. That's the thing. I was watching a video of this of a little girl that just found out she got adopted. And it was a really sweet video. And she just finds out she gets adopted, and she is just jumping up and down, and she is so excited. Someone is taking her in. And I couldn't help but think, you know what? When that day comes, the adoption, when the body is changed, boy, the joy unspeakable. When all the paperwork's done and all that stuff, all the payments have exchanged hands that need to exchange hands, and now the body is changed, and it's not that it's been, the body's being born again, the body is being changed now, and it's being changed from one family to another family. And all this time I struggled, and you struggled as a child of God. You struggled in this old body, this old man, this old flesh. And it was the thing that keeps you from God. It's the thing that separates you from God. It's where all the sin is located. And man, you're just waiting, like he says, you're just waiting for that change. Man, I watched that video, and the girl, she hears that she's being adopted, and she's just jumping up and down, hugging the parents, and man, what a joy. And I thought, that is a great illustration of this day. The adoption, waiting for the adoption. So it's something you're waiting on. If you're a child of God, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, God has given you what He calls the Spirit of promise. And He says, listen, I'm going to put My Spirit inside of you to let you know one day I am changing that body, and I'm going to make that body a part of My family. It ain't going to be a part of the devil's family anymore. It's going to be a part of My family. Look over back there, and you're in Romans 8. We'll just deal with them as they are close by here. Romans 8:15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. All right, the spirit of bondage again to fear. What is that? That is every lost soul's spiritual condition. Afraid of death, no hope. We're talking about it in men's group. It is so sad. When lost folks lose loved ones. And there's no comfort in that. There's nothing to say that helps them. Why? Because hope is in Jesus Christ. Hope is in the resurrection. Hope is in the glorified body. Hope is in one day this old, nasty old body is going to get a glorified body. But if you don't have that hope in Jesus Christ, that there's nothing else to put your hope in. Don't know where else to point you. And if you reject Jesus Christ, there's nothing to say. I mean, you can say we hope they're in a better place, but that doesn't offer anything. So he says, For ye have not received, verse 15, ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but Ye have received the spirit of the adoption. You haven't received the body yet, but you've received the spirit. You've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So that this is, I think it's making sense. I hope it's making sense to you. There's this adoption that is physical. And then the spiritual part of that is where you receive the spirit of promise. So since no one is yet physically a child of God, but you can be, and you, if you are, you're a child of God by faith and by promise. Look over here in Galatians. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 14. Galatians 3:14. Galatians 3:14, it says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. All right, so you got the promise of the Spirit. Look over, you're in Galatians, look one book over in Ephesians chapter 1. It gives it a little clearer definition here. Ephesians 1:13. You say, just because I'm not adopted yet physically, can I still be a child of God? Yeah, you're a child of God by the Spirit of God. If you have faith in Jesus Christ. All right, Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. So this is the process. You heard the word of truth, you trusted it. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. What's the promise? One day the whole thing's changed. The promise is one day this part of me that's not changed is going to change. That's what I'm looking forward to. And currently, that's the struggle I have. Because it's not changed yet. When you if you're saved here, if you trusted Jesus Christ, you've probably heard it a million times. Part of you got saved and part of you didn't get saved. Your body didn't change any. Your body is still just as dead as it's ever going to be. It's headed to a grave. There's no part of that body that you have now that God saved. In fact, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So, what does he say, verse 13? You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So everything is looking forward to the adoption day. That's what you're looking forward to. That's the struggle you now have with the flesh. That's the promise God gives you in the Spirit of God. One day it will be changed. Here's another one. I mentioned this one a little bit earlier, but I'll just go over it one more time here. Back over in Romans, I'll give you two more verses. We'll wrap it up. Romans chapter 9. That we just read it, I'll read it to you again. He says in verse 3, this is dealing with Jew and Gentile, because this is another one that I've heard before, that Gentiles are adopted into the family, whereas Jews are a part of the family of God. But that's not biblical. It has nothing to do with adoption. Romans 9:3, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. So verse 4, the adoption first pertains to Israel. God gives that nation, God gives a promise to Israel. It goes What does he say in the Gospels and in Acts? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. Where? To the Jews first, and then outward to the Gentiles. But to the Jews first pertained the adoption. It wasn't that the Gentiles are adopted in and the Jews are already in. It's the Jews had the adoption first. They had the promise that there would be a bodily change one day. That it was to the Jews first that the Holy Spirit was sent. And you read about all that stuff in Acts, and then as he goes out, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth, all that stuff. So it's not a Jew-Gentile thing. Adoption's not. And it's, maybe you've never heard that. I've heard that. And it's just it doesn't have anything to do with what the word means in the Bible, the way God uses the word. Then lastly is this last verse, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. Ephesians 1, 5. And notice the words are always important, but notice the words here. It says, verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption. So that is the destination. That is where saved souls are headed. For the adoption, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. All right, here's the point about this. So the destination is adoption. And the way he did that, the way God the Father does that, says the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ in heaven is known as the Word of God. The first time you know anything about Jesus Christ is after he's born in a body. Then he's given a name, Jesus. And then further on in the ministry, he says, "Who do men say that I am?" And he is known as the Christ, Jesus Christ. So when God the Father makes this predetermination in Jesus Christ, he's not making it from the foundation of the world. He's making it from the standpoint of now he has a body to work with in Jesus Christ. Now he has a body that he can fashion other bodies like Jesus Christ. Now he has a body, a child of God, a son of God, Jesus Christ, that he can make your body, if you're saved, like his family now. Now, not only will the spiritual part of you be in the family of God, but now the bodily part of you will be in the family of God. It is so I say that because some people read this verse about predestination. And it's, you know, from the foundation of the world and all this stuff, you know, people chose heaven and hell and blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. And if you've never heard that kind of doctrine, don't worry about it. Don't even look for it. It's nonsense. But the predestination doesn't even happen until a man named Jesus shows up and provides a body that God can use now and that God will accept. Over there, and just made me think of a couple other things. Look in Hebrews chapter, I think it's chapter 10. I think. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. Hebrews 10:5, about Jesus Christ. It says, "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me." A body hast thou prepared me. You know why God prepared a body? Because he didn't have one suitable that he could use. So he prepared a body so that he could use a body to redeem mankind. I mean, to those that would put their faith in Jesus Christ. I mean, you ought to just, before I read the next verse, but if you don't trust Jesus Christ to pay for your sins, if you don't trust Jesus Christ in the death, the burial, and resurrection, there is no other option. I mean, there are no other people you can look to. You could say, well, I like to follow this philosopher. He's got some good ideas. Well, his problem is he couldn't beat death. So his ideas all ended at the grave. And maybe his ideas live on, but his abilities and his power ended at the grave. The thing is, it is... I try to stress this so much, but it is only reasonable that you would trust Jesus Christ because he's your only option. You don't have another option. You don't even have anyone who offered to pay for your sins. You don't have anyone who came up from the grave. So God prepares a body that he can use in order to, what does he say here? He says in verse 5, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. So all this time, God had given the Israelites a system of sacrifices. And then he says, there were no sacrifices that could take away sin. Why? Because you would have to do them every year, every month. It's like paying rent is all it is. You have to do the sacrifice or else you fall under the judgment of God. And so the Lord looked at that system and he said, this is the system I gave Israel. I didn't give any other nation this system. Nobody else has this. Everyone else is just under sin. But I gave Israel a system whereby they could temporarily atone for their sins. But even that system was a failure in this. It could never give eternal life to anyone. It could never beat the grave. None of the blood of bulls and goats could ever atone for sin. So God, he says in verse 6 there, he says, sacrifice and offerings, I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for the man I can put myself in, the man that will pay for sins, the man that I can use to redeem other men. And he looks around the world and there's nobody in the world, so he becomes a man. A body hast thou prepared, and now he's the man, Jesus Christ, God Almighty in the flesh, he is the man. Now he pays for sins of the world in the body. And then, die on the cross, put into a grave, resurrected on the third day. And now he says this, and this was one that we've looked at before, but it's in, I tell you what, you don't have to turn anymore. I'll just give them to you. So in 1 Corinthians 15, you have this description of the resurrection, and he says, this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy victory? Or death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? So that's the adoption over here in 1 Corinthians 15. Then you've got the adoption in, we got 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians. We looked at some of the spiritual side of this thing. You've got the new body in Philippians, something we've been going through in Wednesday nights. Who shall change this vile body and fashion? I tell you what, we'll just look at it. Look over in Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, or 20. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, for our conversation is in heaven. Verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. That's the adoption. That's the day that the physical part of the redeemed souls becomes a part of the family of God. Right now, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, spiritually, you're a part of the family of God. You're born again. He uses that word, born again of the Spirit. But he would never dare use the word born again of the flesh, because your flesh is never going to be born again. It will be one day changed into something it's not, which is an adoption, not a birth. So that's why you got two different things going on. That's why he uses one word for one thing and another word for another thing. So you're waiting for the physical change, which is the adoption. In the meantime, you're given the spirit of adoption, the spirit of promise. So hopefully that makes some sense to you. There's five places that word shows up. And the doctrine is, I mean, it's all throughout. But sometimes I think, take a word and you just start applying it however you're going to apply it, and we forget that God has put the application in there. So that is the adoption, and that's the way it's used in the Bible. And so I hope it was put it this way, it's helpful for me, so I hope it's helpful for you guys to see that stuff. Some of you guys are really interested in the doctrinal stuff, and that's good. It's good. It's doctrine. But not to be careless with how we handle the Bible, let's try to handle the Bible the way the Bible of God uses these words. So that is adoption. And so if you ever talk about, you know, I'm so glad I'm adopted into the family of God, the truth is you're not adopted yet. You're waiting to be adopted. That's the thing, that's the struggle between this flesh. It's not in the family yet. The Spirit's been born again, but the adoption, the flesh, hasn't changed yet. So, hope that's helpful to you. We'll pray and...